Good morning, church. Oh, can I get somebody to get me a cup of hot water? One of you young people? Thank you. I've got a cup here. Thank you. Hi, guys. Good morning. The weather's okay. It's held out. It's been a great weekend. And school holidays are here. It's great to see all of our precious babies in the room today. So I'm going to be as quick as possible, but, you know, I've got to get the word out as well, so just bear with me. Hi, Toots. How are you going? I'm just getting your pen lid. Okay, cool. See ya. Bye. As Mum and Dad cringe at the back. All right, well, let's open in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, I just thank you right now for your word. I thank you that it is your word that comes and changes us. It is your word that is living and active, and it divides between spirit and soul, and it cuts out the stuff that we don't need in our life. And today, Lord, is no different. As I bring your word, I just ask, Father, that you would be merciful and gracious and kind and patient and do the job that only you can do, where you change a man's spirit, change a man's heart, and put us on the right track and cause us to be the people that you've called us to be. I ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who was here last week or has heard Pastor Paul's message from last week? Yeah. Look, I loved it, and it spoke all about being mature. Who wants to be mature? There's about three of you. Oh, my word. This isn't a good start. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm following on from that message from last week. And I'm just going to particularly just zone in on one of the areas that he spoke about last week. But I'm just going to recap what Pastor Paul spoke about. And by starting by saying, who knows, we've been in the book of Ephesians. That's correct, isn't it? We've been in the book of Ephesians. And Pastor Yvette went over marriage a couple of weeks ago. And now Pastor Paul last week, he took us through Ephesians again, Ephesians 4. That's one of the passages that as a church we've really basically based our ministry on, about using the fivefold ministry to grow us up into the fullness of what Jesus Christ wants. So I've got two lovely assistants. They're going to be helping me this morning. Thank you, lovely assistants. They're right behind. But if you look up the back here, Ephesians 4, we ready to go, Aaron? Relying on all these young men who are learning how to be responsible. So that's good. Ephesians 4 was the passage that Pastor Paul spoke about last week, and it said that till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. And you know, this Romans passage 8 verse 19 really speaks to me a lot. It says that all of creation waits in eager anticipation, expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Now, I'm not going to go into all the theology of that passage, but my understanding of that is the world is waiting for us to live this life to the full. They're waiting. They want to know who these real Christians are, because they see a lot of broken Christians who are commanding space and saying that they serve Jesus, but there's something about our lives that just isn't working. It's not convincing. And the scripture says that creation's waiting for us. And so when Pastor Paul put the challenge to us last week about who wants to grow up and be mature, my understanding is that almost everybody in the room stood to their feet. So I reckon God saw that, he heard it, and today he wants to respond and start speaking to us about maturity. Who wants to go there today? Yeah, good. Is that a pen? Okay, so from last week, if you go to the next one, Pastor Paul spoke about Nancy Adler, and she said that in psychology, maturity is the ability to respond to the environment in an appropriate manner. And this response is generally learnt rather than instinctive. Go to the next one, Aaron, my love. And she specifically said that there are three key areas that demonstrate our maturity. Listen, church. I don't know about you, but every now and again people have said, oh, you know, we hear people go, no, I'm very mature. Okay, here's the gauge. Do you know how to give an appropriate response to your environment? Whether you're in a stressful situation, families falling apart, families having a great time, do you know how to have an appropriate response? That's one key area. The next one is our appropriate behaviour in our culture. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And the third one is understanding our life's purpose. Pastor Paul spoke about that last week. So we're going to talk about having the appropriate behaviour in our culture or society. Now, John 3:5, he also took us to John 3:5. It says, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. So when you made a decision to follow Jesus, you have moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And I've got some great little props over here to demonstrate to you what that looks like. But you have left one kingdom and you have entered another. And maturity means that you need to know how to handle living in that new culture. Who even knows what this new culture is about? Who even knows what the culture of the kingdom is? Like when I say those words, are some of you even going, could you just repeat those three words? I didn't even catch that. Forget what it means. What is the culture of the kingdom? A silence. How about we just look at the word culture first? Because I've sat with some very important people in recent days and I've asked that question. Well, they're very important people. And I said to them, so tell me, guys, tell me, you know, when you're dealing and putting all these programs out, do you understand, you know, how the culture works? And they've, you know, the sound of crickets? Yeah, that was their answer. We don't know what culture is. But it's important that you understand what culture is because that is what we live in. And if we're going to be mature, we have to understand what that concept is. So last week, Pastor Paul spoke about and asked you whether or not you knew your purpose. Today, my question is, do you know how to have an appropriate response and appropriate behavior in the culture that God has put you in? That's my question. Do you know how to behave in the kingdom of God? Because I suspect that many of us, we behave as though we're still back here in the other one. But we don't even know it. So let me look at the definition of culture for you. It means, and we've got it up there, it is the ideas, it's the customs, it's the belief systems or worldview, I might use that term, and it's the social behaviour of a particular people or society. Now, many people in this room, when you grew up, you just knew your culture. Like, you know, if you were Anglo, you grew up in England or here in Oz growing up, you just knew your culture. You didn't sort of think about it because you just did what you did. And that's what your culture is and was. And that's you just do it. But we live in a culture now where, if I look around this room, I know we've done a head count before. There can be up to 13 different nationalities in this building on any given day. Did you know that? And every single person, that represents a different culture, a different framework from where they're coming from. And we're all expected to sort of get along and just do this thing. And then we sort of rub up against each other and it's like, you really annoy me. But you don't know why, because, hey, but this is just how I've done this. Okay? So that's what culture is. Culture is made up of about 7 key areas. My lovely assistants are going to put them up for you now. They are made up of the concept of religion, of family structure, of law and government, of arts and media, of finance and economics, of education, and sports entertainment. That's what makes a culture, doesn't it? You get that. So when I talk about Aussie, you go, oh, Aussies, they love their footy, and, you know, they go off to the AFL. Who watched the Doggies beat the Sydney Swans yesterday? Yes, there's at least one. There's people cheering. Woohoo! 50 years it took them. You know, so the Aussies have got their certain culture. It generally revolves around drinking lots of beer, doesn't it? Unfortunately, it does. And outside of the kingdom, now, what I'm showing you is, I'm going to just show you what these different areas bring. Now, please understand, not everything in culture is bad. Even some of the stuff I put over on that side, it's not all bad. It just is. One of the rules of understanding culture, and you just got to stay with me, guys, stay with me, because it affects every single one of us, okay? But one of the key lessons that they teach when you're learning about culture is, it's not wrong, it's just different. Some of it is generally not always wrong. Oh, they eat rice in the morning? Those Koreans, did you know that Koreans eat rice for breakfast? Seems crazy, doesn't it? But it's not wrong, it's just different. Auntie Dolly eats rice for breakfast, see? I too. So we're going to have a look at just some of the different aspects of those seven areas. The first one, for me, it's the most important. It's the religion. Now, outside of the kingdom, you've got lots of types of different aspects of religion, different areas under the religion banner. I'm sorry, I'm struggling. Okay, not yet, love. Under religion, we've got animism. We've got Buddhism. We've got Hinduism. We've got Islam. And even Christian religiosity. These things are happening all around us. You might say, but we don't have any Buddhist temples here. Well, aspects of Buddhism are around us everywhere. In every school now, kids practice yoga. Did you know that? The evangelists for Buddhism have gotten into a lot of our schools. A lot of it, though, comes from animism. Now, animism is actually a belief system that, I'm going to pick on the brownies in this place today, but almost every indigenous tribe across the world has practiced animism. And I would say animism is also the foundational root of Hinduism. Hinduism is a pantheistic religion. They believe over 1,000 gods. But animism, listen to this, guys. Sorry. It encompasses the belief that there is no separation between the spiritual and the physical. This sounds almost like how God wanted us to think. He wanted us to think about the spiritual and the physical. But we poo-poo it and we say, it's rubbish. And you know what? Without Jesus Christ, it absolutely is. It gets very dangerous. But most cultures, most black cultures, practice some form of animism. That means they acknowledge all the spirits. They, in fact, look to plants and nature, and they think that plants and nature have a life in it that is spiritual. Who understands what I'm talking about here? If you come from Africa, you should already understand this. You've seen this in your culture. And it's also it's rife throughout the Hindu faith. And I would say it's rife throughout the Aboriginal culture. And that's the foundation of what's happened in this country. So all of these different cultures have a belief system. They have a religion. And animism is at the root of some of this stuff. Why am I telling you this? Because God wants to make you mature today. And he wants to make sure that everything that you do out of an understanding of the kingdom of God. Sorry. Do you know, in Buddhism, they can't even decide on which is the way to enlightenment. Buddha gave a lot of teachings, but before he died, he actually said to his followers, you should just take a look at the teachings of Jesus, just in case you know anyone who's wandering down that path. The Muslims teach verbatim, exactly from the Quran. They believe that the Quran is word for word what Muhammad taught them. That's a little scary. The good news is that Christianity is still the largest faith system in the whole world. And so it determines and dictates how a lot of our cultures are formed. I'm spending a little bit of time in this area because out of this comes the rest of it. It is the reason why we do education. It's the reason why we do sport. It's the reason why we do art. It's the reason why we, and the basis of how we handle our money. It even provides the basis of how we set up our family structures. Let's have a look. There are lots of family structures. Did you know that? Polygamy is very popular amongst the Islamic faith. But I want to say to you that on the basis of first mentions in the Word of God, it only appeared in Genesis 4 for the first time. Genesis 2, God declared that he made man and woman. And that's was his perfect plan. He said it was good. By Genesis 4, when sin had entered, polygamy came with it. So a lot of people go, oh, but polygamy's in the Bible. That's right, but it is as an effect of sin. And yet polygamy is rife through many cultures, absolutely rife. And when they change the understanding of what marriage is, you need to understand there's a lot of people out there who have a very different understanding of what marriage would look like, and it's different to what God would say. We see children being married to adults. We see societies, whole societies being run by women. These are different family structures. We see misogyny in a lot of different cultures. And more recent times, we see the gender confusion coming through in our young people. These are different family structures. I'm not commenting and saying, God's against. I'm just saying these are the different family structures that we are seeing in our cultures. In the area of law and government, you'll see all different types of laws. Do you understand that? We live in a democratic society. It was Christian-based and Christian-founded. But the Aboriginal people, they don't... Uh-huh. 80% of the people sitting in prison in this state are Aboriginal. And part of the reason is they live according to a completely different set of instructions, a different culture. They live according to their L-O-R-E. Our L-A-W means nothing to them. Is it right? Is it good? Well, I don't think it's helping them. And I don't think it's creating unity in our community. It just is. That's why we need to understand culture. Sharia law, it's a different law to our law. The New Zealanders, tapu, is that how you say it? Tapu? It's a Maori law. In different villages out there, there's Wontok, there's a different law. And of course, as I said, in the Western system, we have democratic law. I'm not going to speak about all of these things. Arts and media, they affect our culture. Who knows that? Art in different cultures is used as a form of worship towards a deity. Media is used to absolutely teach our young people, to train our people. Social engineering happens through our media. Who sees that? Who knows that? And in the area of finance and economics, there's socialism, capitalism, there's a bartering system if you go back to the village type situations. But capitalism is our system. It's not perfect, is it? Absolutely, it is not perfect. There's corruption, there's greed, there's selfishness. As long as there's people, it can go wrong. In the area of education, here's one, guys, that you need to understand. In the Western context, we have learnt according to the Greek mindset. It's knowledge and reasoning. It's good. It's a good thing. The Hebraic system is spiritual. Without the Holy Spirit of God, though, it can become witchcraft. It can become a bad thing. So God wants us to have both a spiritual way of understanding things, but also the Greek understanding, which is the soul, knowledge and reasoning. Everyone knows how to, you know, count, put things together, but if we don't acknowledge and accept that there's a spiritual way to learn things, I think we'll be poorer for it. Again, I'll refer to the Aboriginal people. That's why they don't turn up at school. It's not just because they want to be naughty. I think the average is they turn up one day a week, the 13 and 14-year-olds across the state. One day a week they turn up for school. It's because they don't think the way the Western mindset has been taught to think. They're still thinking spiritually. So they think that everything that they need to know will happen when they go out onto country. It's not helping them. Sports and entertainment. I'm just going to say this one thing about sports and entertainment in culture. There's a Latin phrase. I don't know exactly how to say it. It's panem et circensis. It means bread and circus. And I think it describes what's happening across our culture right now. It's all about entertain, pleasure me, I want to escape, I want to eat, and I just want to be entertained. Whew. But the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to live and operate over here. He wants us to live according to the kingdom culture. You see, because some of the stuff I've just mentioned, we've probably all been a part of that. And some of us probably still do. And then we look around the building, like some of us here, and go, how am I going to connect with you? You come from a completely different background to me. I don't know how we're going to connect. I know, I've got the answer. If we live according to the culture of the kingdom of God, we'll be able to get through this. Because I don't know if I'm going to be able to eat rice in the morning with Auntie Dolly. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to understand the ways. I'm going to pick on you, Hendrik. Hendrik is a very clever man. He's a very clever man, but I don't think the way Hendrik does. But I'll tell you what I do have in common. We're both in the kingdom. And so we operate out of that. And we have the same foundational understandings of how we do life from that. And where does that come from? Obviously the Word of God. So let's just do a little bit of comparison. When it comes to our religion in the kingdom culture, I'm just going to quote Matthew 6:33. It says this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." He wants you to live his way. He wants you to live according to his word. If you don't do that, you're going to continually go back and forth and wonder if, oh, but this is how my family's always done it. No. Because there are some things that your family line has possibly taught you that is not good for you. And you don't even know you're doing it. Some of it is unconscious stuff. I'm talking to everybody in the room. I'm not just talking, I pick on us brownies because I think our culture has got some stuff in there that isn't so good. The white culture generally is built on the Judeo-Christian mindset, but there's stuff that's been picked up over the years that isn't good. Let me give you some examples. In the white culture, we've picked up karate. Yay! Oh, it's great. Fitness. Protect us. No, it isn't. It's a form of... It's actually a Japanese belief system when they bow down. We've had some interesting conversations over the years. Yoga, practice right across the Western world now. The latest thing now is we're all going on the colour run. That's celebrating the holy day in the Hindu faith. Did you know that? So we're picking up practices along the way too. It's really important that we know what God has to say and that we live according to His culture. Because remember, maturity involves us having an appropriate behavior in the culture in which we live. I guarantee that if you live according to the kingdom culture, you will be able to get along just fine in this world. See, a lot of Christians have bought into the lie that, oh, but we've got to like make it easy for people to get saved. No, you don't go getting involved in every other practice. God's big enough. He's big enough. So the family structure within the kingdom of God, it's really basic. It's husband, wife, kids. We take it from Genesis 2. We speak about it in Ephesians. It's husband, wife, kids. And then the next generation comes along and the next generation comes along. There really aren't that many variations available to us. And that's okay. Because if you've been married in this room, you will understand the complexity of just that single relationship, won't you? It is complex. And you'll spend a lifetime trying to work out how that needs to work well. Within the kingdom of God, law and government, there's no perfect system. I need to say that. But Romans 8 says that what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Sorry, I read one verse too soon. From verse 8, 1 to 3, verse 2 it says, Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. The thing is when you start living according to the kingdom, according to the kingdom of God and with the Holy Spirit of God in you, you don't go, oh, should I do that? Maybe I should. The Holy Spirit will show you. It's called conviction. Conviction of sin. The devil condemns, the Holy Spirit convicts. It's a beautiful thing. And when we choose to ignore that conviction, we then go into a world of justification for the decisions that we make. But make no bones about it, guys. The law of God, it becomes real inside of you when you start walking according to the kingdom. Galatians 2:16 is another passage if you want to take notes and have a look at that. In arts and media, do you know, it was always about revealing the truth of God. God is a creator. He is the creator. He's given different ones of us capacity to create also. There are people in this room who are artisans, who are artists. And God has given you that capacity so you can make beautiful things, so you can honor Him. But over the years, mankind has twisted that through sin, and it doesn't bring honor and glory to God. But you can use your God-given gifts in this culture to honour God. Economics, well, I'm not going to talk much about that except to quote Luke 6:38, give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. God has called us to be selfless and generous in the kingdom of God. In the area of education, he's called us to have knowledge and reasoning. It builds our soul. Do you know that? It's not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing to have knowledge and reasoning. That's what I want to say. I believe, as far as education goes, that God has always wanted the Greek and the Hebraic mindsets working in tandem. The knowledge and reasoning is to help build into the soul. The Hebraic helps us to understand the things of the Spirit. He wants us to do things spiritually. We are made in his image and he is a spirit. So he wants us educated. And in sports and entertainment, well, I'm just going to quote 1 Timothy 4:18. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So guys, that's just a quick overview. But here's really what I want to say today. I believe that regardless of where we've come from, God wants us to put our culture on the altar. Even if you've come from the perfect home, the perfect family, there will be aspects of why and how we do things that will remove us from God. Will stop us from becoming the people God wants us to be. My own testimony is that 3 years ago, the Lord challenged me to renounce my Aboriginal culture. And my response to that was, Lord, I don't even care. I don't even care about it. I've never practiced it. I don't care anything of it. I actually don't even know anything about the Aboriginal culture. But in faith, I prayed a very simple prayer. I went home to my husband and I just said, listen, love, I've got to pray this. And I just prayed a very simple prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, if my Aboriginal culture has gotten in the way of all that you would want for me, please take it now. Like Romans 12:1-2, I present myself as a living sacrifice. And I just give everything, including the cultural practices and the stuff that's happened in my generational line and my forefathers, I give it to you. Now, some of you here might say, but Trish, I've been raised by Christians, my forefathers are Christians, we've never practiced any of that stuff. Well, my mum was a Christian too, and my grandparents. But you know what? That day, something shifted over me. I can't even explain it, guys. My brain changed. I'm telling you, my brain changed. There was something spiritual that was over me that I couldn't explain. But God shifted something. So there are people here today whose cultures have been involved in secret arts and, you know, magic, whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're from a black culture or not. If your family's been involved in Freemasonry, this is the stuff that does impact us. And there are people here who will argue and say, well, no, I'm a Christian, so it's all new. This is it. Blood of Jesus. But we have to appropriate the victory that God has given us. I can only tell you what's happened to me. I want to speak to the South Africans. I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to say it. Could you take that off the screen? I want to put this to you guys. I've worked with many of you over the years. One of the things, the challenges that I've seen is the when it comes to leadership and authority, trusting authority, I see a reticence to trust authority. And I think if you've lived in a nation where your government has told you and your church leaders have told you that people like me have less value than you, and you believe that, you're a victim of it. But there's truth. The truth is that I have the same value as you. But if you've lived under that, where your government's told you that, and your church leaders have told you that, along the way comes, I guess, an acceptance of a lie. And so what happens is you start believing that. And then you come over here to Australia and you're a little angry because you've lost everything. I didn't want to leave my country. I love my country. My family were there for 300 years, but I'm now in this country. I didn't want to be here. Well, I want to say to you today that there are things in your culture that should never have been there. I want to say that people have spoken lies, and perhaps your forefathers have believed that. And that's what I mean when I say we have to say, God, I'm just throwing it all on. I'm throwing it on the altar. I'm going to trust you to show me the truth. Is that okay? Don't hate me for that. I know there aren't any here, but you know, guys who come out of the Hindu culture, I've seen it many times because of the pantheistic belief system. There's a real deception over the particularly the people from the Indian extraction. The Aboriginals come from that. A real deception. God wants to set us free. He wants us to live in this kingdom. And he wants us to experience the fullness of it. He wants us to get mature. I want to be mature. But it's coming at a cost. So, I won't say too much about my husband, but I know that that's been our journey. Both of us have at different times had to go, God, it doesn't matter all the stuff I've been taught, let me lay it on the altar and allow you. I give you permission to start showing me stuff. You see, if I come from an extraction that used to kill people, and I had an anger problem that was outrageous, gosh, I'm going to say it. I think it was a spirit of murder that was there. It was in the anger. God's had to set me free from that. And I might be the most messed up here. Who knows? But I don't think so. I think we're just all trying to find our way with God. So I'm sorry I'm a little bit over the place today because I'm not 100% health-wise. But we're pushing for maturity, aren't we? So I want to say to you that I think we need to be prepared to place our cultural practices on the altar. And we need to be prepared to renounce any and all practices that prevent us from experiencing the fullness of Jesus Christ. Are you prepared today to do that? Like Abraham. See, Abraham was asked to put his son on the altar. And I always used to think, wow, like he was so obedient. God said it, and it says the next day he got up. He'd waited 25 years for that baby. But when God told him to put Isaac on the altar, he got up the next day and he was prepared to walk into the bush and put that child on the altar. But recently I was meditating on that, and the Lord said, Trish, it was his cultural practice. It wasn't a big deal for him. His people did that. They sacrificed their baby to Molech, a foreign god. Are you prepared, like Romans is asking us to to just jump on the altar and let God take away the yuck. I've done that, and I'm loving what God's doing in me. I'm a different girl to who I was 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago. I'm loving what God is doing. It's true. Jesus said it. If you're not prepared to hate everything else and dive in with me, you're never going to fully experience this. So I'm going to invite a leader, if you could come up to the keys. We're going to finish, and we're going to finish with communion this morning. It always goes quiet when I preach. Don't you want to give me something? Woohoo. Jacob, you can put the fruits of the Spirit up if you want. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Who wants a little bit of that? Who wants more of that than anything else? Hey? Love. A couple of years ago, the Lord said to me, Trish, kindness, this is your year. Really, Lord? I'm not that kind? No, you're going to work on it. Oh, darn. I love how the Father talks to me. He just tells it like it is. So that's how I have to tell you guys. So Jesus, he was prepared to give up everything. Everything. And go to the cross for you and I. He was prepared to lay everything down for you and I. It's not a hard one for us, is it? Shouldn't be that hard. But that's what I'm going to ask you to do today. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Would you allow me, if you want to do that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But I'm going to invite you to stand and I'll lead us in prayer. And then we're going to ask the guys to come forward to distribute the emblems. If you want to specifically pray that prayer about your culture, that's who I'm asking to stand first. Trust me. You're not going to loot. You're not going to change color or, you know, change appearance, or it's not going to happen. You might look better. I think I'm looking better as I get older. See? No. So, Heavenly Father, I'm going to pray it. Just agree with me in your heart. Or agree, you know, you can repeat quietly, sorry. In Jesus' name, I come to you this morning as a living sacrifice. I want to know how to respond appropriately in this new culture. The culture of the kingdom of God. And so the first thing I'm going to do is lay down my culture, my national culture. I want to be known as your child, first and foremost. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I invite you to identify and strip away every cultural practice and mindset and impact from the sin and remove it from me today. Wipe the slate clean. I invite you to do that now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just pray for you guys? Father, right now I just ask that even as I'm praying, that you would begin to show men and women across this auditorium what it is they absolutely need to know from this message. God, if there are practices, if there are family traditions, if there is stuff that has happened that they will know nothing about, God, that has impacted them, I ask, Lord, that you'd begin to show them. Father, I thank you that your blood covers us and that we are forgiven. I thank you for your forgiveness. Right now, Lord, I ask that you would begin to cleanse us. You would begin to separate that which has affected and impacted us and begin to help us walk in the light in a way we've not seen or known before. We want to become aware, Lord God. We want to become mature for you. And Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you gave us everything. You gave us your all. And so right now, as the guys come forward and distribute the emblems, Lord, we too want to enjoy this symbolic act, Lord God, of partaking of your blood and your body. It represents the newness, it represents forgiveness, it represents, Lord, that we have a second shot. And we're just so grateful, Lord Jesus Christ.
Church, just as you are about to receive communion, today communion symbolizes the crossing over that Jesus took when he left the kingdom of heaven to come to the earth, when he left the culture of heaven to come to the cultures of this earth. And he made a way for you and I to leave the kingdoms of this earth and enter the kingdom of heaven. To leave the cultures of this earth and begin to live the culture of the kingdom of heaven. This morning we started with a scripture. Matt declared a scripture. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if any man or woman or child would open the door, then I would come in and eat with him, and he would eat with me. Today, you've heard a very key principle of how you can live in maturity, you can live in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light. And that is by opening the door of your heart to the culture of the kingdom of God. You know what I've noticed about doorways is that as much as things come in, things can go out. And if you open your door of your heart this morning to God and say, God, I want my culture to go out and I want your culture to come in. Did you notice how culture encompasses everything? All of life. And that is exactly what God wants for you and I. He wants all of our lives. He wants his culture to infiltrate every aspect of our lives. And so as you take communion this morning, Would you do it in a way that symbolizes, God, I'm opening my heart to you. I want my culture, the things that I thought were important. There are practices and values that we hold to that we believe are important, but they are less than the kingdom of heaven. They are beneath it. Let them go. Let them get out. So that the real priorities of heaven can come into our hearts. You know, and I'm talking about financial things, for example, where we hold on to the idea that we need finances, we've got to work hard, we've got to make money, we've got to get ahead, and it's a real value that we've built our lives on. And there's nothing like that in the Bible. There's nothing like that in the kingdom of heaven. Or we want to hold on to family, we want to hold on to our children, we want to make idols of our children, we want to make our children the light of our lives. And God says, that's not the way it works in the kingdom of heaven. I've given you these children to steward on my behalf, but they're not your idol. They're not more important than my kingdom. Don't put them in front of my kingdom. Or your marriage, or friendships, or your hobbies, or your sport. These are things that the culture of our day that we put in front of the kingdom of God. And God says, open the door. Let it out so that my kingdom can come in. And let me assure you, anything that we give away to God, He has a way of giving back with interest, of redeeming it, giving it back to us so that we can enjoy it, but now it's in its correct order. So today as we take communion, that's what we're doing. Will you open your heart? Will you open the door of your heart to the kingdom of heaven and say, God, there's no room in my heart for two cultures. Only one's going to prevail. And I want your kingdom to prevail. And Jesus did that by dying on the cross for us. His body bore the bruises and the beatings of the price that it costs for heaven to enter our lives. So when we eat together, we're remembering the incredible price that Jesus paid to allow us the freedom this morning to do that. To just say, yes, Lord, come in. Come into my heart. Let your culture come into my world and change me. So as you eat this morning, remember the price that Jesus paid for the freedom we have to exchange cultures today. Let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus, that none of us are going to be required to pay the price that you paid. For some of us this morning, there are things we're going to let go of that may cost us. But they're nowhere near the price that you paid for our freedom. And so we willingly let go of those things. We ask you to replace the things that drive us with your love and your peace, the drivers of your kingdom. And then Jesus spilt his blood and said, it's through his blood that we have the full forgiveness of sin, and that he washes us clean. And as we stand before God, there's nothing that separates us from his love, from his eyes. And so this morning, you can drink and celebrate the freedom and the fullness that comes through the blood of Jesus. Let's do that together. Thank you, Jesus, that as you come into our heart, there's no corner, there's no dark little room that your blood cannot cover and cleanse. That as you come into our lives, our worlds, our culture, there isn't anything that you're ashamed of and can't bear to look at. Your blood covers it all. The vilest offender finds freedom in you. Lord, thank you that you cleanse us and forgive us because you love us so much. Let that love, that forgiveness flood our hearts today, I pray. Thank you that we can stand before you brand new. Father, thank you for this word this morning, another key to maturity, another key to growing in our walk with you. I pray this morning that that key would unlock lives in this congregation and it would go beyond this congregation. I pray, Lord God, that the culture of your kingdom would shape the way we think, the way we behave, and the way that we build. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our soon returning King. Amen.